Hi, I'm Al Spohler.
And I'm Hugh Siss, and welcome to Cellar Notes. You know, occasionally I'm a whiskey fan, and I know that you're sort of beginning to explore.
Oh, I can appreciate it.
And so you had an opportunity to try some wee drams from some places we wouldn't normally expect a dram.
We talk about strange wines from strange places, Hugh.
Okay.
I went to a tasting that my friend Charles Blomquist put on. This is becoming sort of an annual affair. He gets a bunch of lawyers and judges and me to come over and taste some strange and wonderful things. And this year the theme was whiskeys from around the world.
Okay.
I had no idea they made whiskeys around the world, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Yeah, I mean, I don't know the total breadth, but yeah, stuff comes from a lot of places.
It does, and some of them were bizarre, and some of them were unbelievably good and very surprising. The first thing we tried was something called Schneiderweiss, which was from Germany. It was a clear whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
A curiosity and not much more.
It's unaged whiskey.
Yeah, absolutely clear. No barrel aging, I would guess. The first true, you know, that recognizable as a real whiskey was McMira, the first edition from Sweden. And
okay.
this was pretty decent stuff. It didn't knock anyone over, but it was well made and fairly good, and we liked it. Then we went to Wales, and this probably isn't terribly surprising that they might try to make whiskey in Wales.
I've had this one.
And it's called Penderyn.
Yeah, it's quite good.
I thought it was really nice, very Scotch-like.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of peatiness to it and
right.
Big flavors. This was really getting there. We sort of took a step back, though, with the Reisterbauer whiskey from Austria. This was bourbon-like. It really had, you know, flavors of bourbon, and even though it wasn't made from corn. But that's how it came off.
Huh. I wonder if that was from a use of American oak barrels to give it that big vanilla sweetie taste.
It could have been, and it was a good effort. It just wasn't inspiring. So, you know, kind of a...
Lord knows I need to be inspired.
I like a little inspiration. Well, the next one would have inspired you, and it would have, you know, surprised the heck out of you. This is Armut cask strength whiskey from India.
Really?
India.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, you had all those limeys over there
for a long time.
Absolutely.
And they learned how to make it. This was very strong stuff, and it was a real crowd favorite. I mean, this was just big and intense. Totally, they nailed it.
Cask strength means it's basically uncut, so it's going to come out of that barrel somewhere around 120 proof.
And it tasted every percentage of it. The other one that I think was my favorite of the whole evening, and again, a big surprise, was Yamakaze from Japan. And this was just extremely well made, halfway between bourbon and scotch. It used to be said that the Japanese were very good at imitating things from other cultures. And they certainly nailed this. It was just perfect.
They've been doing some good whiskeys in Japan for about 40 or 50 years.
And, Hugh, this was just really, really impressive. I really recommend it. Caribou Crossing from Canada. Light, easy drinking. A lot of rye in
yep.
this one. A lot of fun. The most bizarre one of the evening was Bren from France. Whiskey? I don't know. It's like, I think they had a cognac maker who consulted a madame in Paris and asked her for her opinions on whiskey.
And that's what she got.
It tasted like a floozy's boudoir. Not my style. But the best one, the classy of the evening, was from Ireland. It was called The Irishman at $120 a bottle.
Wow.
Good stuff. So, Hugh, a lot of surprises, a lot of fun. I'm Al Spohler.
And I'm Hugh Sisson. You've been listening to Cellar Notes, produced by Bob White for 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station.